wonderful. It fills the heart with joy and happiness, almost as much as these particular words.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
Good afternoon, Michael Blackburn. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex.
Excellent. We've not just got one festival. We've got three things that we're focusing on today. Let's start off with the line, Lincoln Book Festival goes gothic between the 25th and the 30th of September. So that means next Monday we will have the festival launch party, and also present we'll have guest speaker. We could not wish for a better one, with Cell 7 being one of the finest young adult novels you could ever encounter. It's Kerry Drury. How are you, Kerry?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex.
Good to connect with your good self, as ever. Classic cliche, but I feel as though in many ways Inspired, I know, was almost made for you, Kerry, you know, with various festivals and so on.
That's very kind of
you. Well, it's true. Now this thing is, author of three young adult novels, including Cell 7. You've been an author in residence for First Story. You've been shortlisted, obviously, for Leeds Book Award. So, in terms of the evening, which will also see the announcement of the winners of the 2017 Flash Fiction Competition, what can we expect on Monday, or is it so secret you just can't share anything with us at all?
Oh, well, I don't know what I can share. I think the highlight is going to be the, like you say, the winners of the Flash Fiction Competition. I've been lucky enough to read some of those, and they've been just wonderful, fantastic entries.
Indeed, looking at the website lincolnbookfestival.org, we have the line, the presentation for the winners of the 2017 Flash Fiction Competition. I was amazed at the numbers of people who actually entered this, because I think we were in actually several hundred, if not a thousand, had actually sort of put in a very short space of time. 50 words in the Gothic genre, Michael.
50 words. That's rather a lot, I think, actually.
For a poet, you know, you'd say that, you see.
That sounds absolutely brilliant.
It's the ever-present battle, Kerry, between the poet and the prose writer.
Now I think 50 words, getting it that concise, is really hard.
Focusing down on that side of things. In case people are looking at the website lincolnbookfestival.org, which they may well be, and if they're not, they should be, and they're thinking, Kerry Drury, author of three young adult novels, most recently Room 7. That's a typo. It's actually Cell 7. Just wanted to make that quite clear. Cell 7, from that point of view. So talk to us about Cell 7, as in C-E-L-L, not as in some kind of capitalist system of actually ensuring that money goes around the world.
Cell 7 is set in a society where the death penalty still exists and where guilt is decided by public internet and phone vote. So it plays into that whole celebrity culture and that media culture. And it's about a teenager, Martha, who's been accused of murdering a celebrity. And she's been put onto death row in cell one. And every day she moves down a cell until she reaches the fateful cell seven, where it's decided if she lives or dies.
I can sense the tension mounting even as we speak, really. Michael, does this float your boat?
It's sending shivers down my spine. Partly because I'm thinking in very evil terms that maybe execution of celebrities would be a good idea.
No!
What I want to know...
That's harsh, Michael.
Come on.
I usually keep
these evil thoughts to myself, often. But this is what writers do. We're a terrible bunch of people, you know. What I want to know is, where did the title come from?
The title is just because that's where her fate is decided. When she gets to cell seven, that's where we find out if she lives or dies. I'm curious as to which celebrities Michael would like to see in cell seven,
Good question, Kerry. Okay, go on. You've opened that can of worms.
Just let me get a pen so I can write it. None of them, actually, of course, I can.
It's bad enough the current editor of the Evening Standard making comments about our Prime Minister and how, you know, she might be saying, we can't be going there, Michael. It's not good, really. Kerry, will you be catching any other parts of the festival? Because clearly you're launching it. It'd be fantastic for that. Will you be checking out David Starkey later on in the event? Or will it be a case of, no, for goodness sake, I'm so busy, I don't have time to do any sort of festival attendances?
I've been looking through the programme, actually, and I'm trying to make my decisions as to what to go to, but there's such a lot on. I'm quite intrigued by the Gothic Literature Workshop, which sounds just fantastic.
That's interesting.
Oh, but that's students of GCSE and A-level. I'm too old.
Oh, no. I mean, certainly on the 28th of September, you've got Victorian Truths and Gothic Mysteries, chaired by Dr. Claudia Campancioni from Bishopbriggs Test University, and our very own Scott Brewster from the University of Lincoln. Scott's actually spoken at length about that. And in fact, on this programme coming up in a matter of moments, we'll be hearing from chair of the Saturday, the 30th of September event, which is an evening... An afternoon, I should say, of architecture revived and inspiring, with Dr. Jim Cheshire sharing his thoughts of how Jeff Brandwood and Pamela Holmes will be actually sort of engaging with the whole process. So there's lots of things to actually connect with from that point of view. I think David Starkey will prove inevitably fairly popular, because that's probably what he does. I mean, Hilary Mantel doesn't really write him, but I don't think it's reciprocated, really, in fact. You know. In fact, maybe we should have actually sort of suggested to the festival organisers that perhaps some sort of jello wrestling match between Hilary Mantel and David Starkey might have been another way forward. I just put
that
out there.
I think tickets might sell out for that. Yeah.
Well, you know, always thinking about that sort of things. What kind of year has 27 been for you so far, Kerry? I mean, clearly you continue to go from strength to strength. A good year, a positive year, or just the bedrock for 2018? How's it been going?
It's been a good year. I've been a writer in residence for a first story at a girls' school in Hull, which has been fantastic. And they've worked towards producing an anthology, which we had a launch party for. So it was just great to see the girls' work in publication, and they were so proud of it. That was really very special. And then the sequel of Cell 7 came out in June, and then the final one comes out in January, so it's been a busy time. So it will be lovely to just sort of spend some time at the Lincoln Book Festival and celebrate with people and see some of these young people involved in this year's first story events as well.
The whole notion of inspiration is very much at the heart of this programme. It connects in all sorts of ways. Michael, when you're wearing your hat as one of the creative writers here, you've just been attending new postgraduate people to actually tend for it from that sort of point of view. Is this something which you can never really underestimate the importance of good writers and indeed good festivals?
I think that's right. I think the kind of visible presence of writers of all different kinds, you know, in public is really important. I think anything that gets people, first of all, reading is really, you know, really a great thing. And in many ways, it doesn't matter what kind of material they're reading, because, you know, they can move from one to the other. So I think it's always a good thing. And the more festivals concentrating on literature, the better.
And that theme, of course, of the history of Lincoln and elements relating to that, and the double-edged sword of Gothic. It was interesting. I wouldn't necessarily, Kerry, have actually put you down as a Gothic writer. Would you say actually there is a way in which you can expand to the Gothic writers?
Yeah, I think maybe not in your traditional kind of Gothic Dracula kind of thing, but if you're talking about kind of suspense and in that way, then I think Cell 7 would play into that, yeah.
Very much so. You can obviously go to goodreads.com and find more details about Kerry Drury, KerryDrewery. Kerry will be off very shortly to look after her pet, I believe. Is it your pet?
Oh, yes. Yes, my dog's at the vets this afternoon.
Well, we're sending positive vibes to Kerry's canine.
You.
See what I did there? Kerry's canine. And I'll be waiting several months to actually sort of incorporate that particular line. So Kerry's canine, which could be a whole series you might like to write about.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, so
I'll bear that in mind.
Yes. Oh, by the way, can I chip something in there with canine, of course? Because, you know, the doctor...
John Levine
references. I think was it the guy who actually invented it or worked on it? Was a writer himself.
He was Bob Baker, and I think there was two sort of areas. We haven't got a Doctor Who scholar immediately to hand here, but I know Bob Baker was one of
somebody
the
else. There was I'm getting the name Di Vaughan for something or other. I might be getting my.
I think you might be getting your wires crossed there, but we will find out. We will use our research tool that Bill Gates dedicated to the world. We're relating to Tim
Pigott-Smith, obviously now, Tim Berners-Lee, you know, sometimes I put it down to shifting the time on the programme at this particular time, and if you're listening to it on a podcast, it makes no difference whatsoever. Kerry, I'm thinking of actually wrapping up Cell 7 with Soft Cell. I know it's a cliche, but would you...
Always
thinking, will you be kind enough to join us again on another Inspired or another programme? Will you be able to return in the very near future to celebrate?
I would love to.
Yay, I think this is it. Kerry Drury, she rules. The Lincoln Book Festival is getting ever closer, 25th to 30th of September 2017, of course, and we're delighted now to have a few words with one of the chairs of the event, the chairman extraordinaire from the University of Lincoln. It's the legendary Dr. Jim Cheshire. Jim, good to connect with you yourself.
Nice to be here.
Okay, now let's just talk about this, because I'm looking at this event now in the brochure, which has an afternoon of architecture, revived and inspiring. We've got Jeff Brandwood and we've got Pamela Holmes. So it's really floating that whole notion of architecture and the Gothic and really the cathedral is something which is kind of trying to reach the heavens.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, the festival broadly is predicated on history, I think, isn't it, and Lincoln's historic status. And what we have a lot of in Lincoln, of course, is Gothic architecture. We also have a lot of what you might call Gothic revival. And this is the style of the Middle Ages revived in the 19th century. And in the 19th century, it came with a particular set of meanings and values. And it's all around us. So St. Swithin's Church in the middle of town is a nice example of a Gothic revival church built by a local architect.
I'm always tempted, though, when you say it was kind of revived in the 19th century. Was this our kind of Victorian predecessor's equivalent of the mock Tudor fronts that we often see in Essex?
I think it's a little bit more serious than that, actually. I mean, if technically, Gothic never quite dies out, because in certain areas, Oxford and Cambridge, and certain little patches, they keep building in Gothic right through the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th century. What happens in the 19th century is it gains momentum and it becomes the chosen style for a whole group of people. And the key to understanding that is the idea that Gothic is intrinsically Christian. So by 1850, if you built a church in the classical style, you get raised eyebrows, because by that stage people see Gothic as Christian, and this is the only style you should really build a church in. So it gained an awful lot of purchase in the 19th century.
And looking towards that, of course, very much the Victorians were dealing with death. It was very much part of the cultural milieu. Maybe in the 21st century, we don't necessarily have, shall we say, the similar things. I mean, we talk about celebrating things. From a personal point of view, which would you prefer? Do you prefer the kind of the paraphernalia and the ornateness of a Victorian funeral, which of course we still see versions of these days, or the sort of slightly more updated version?
Oh, I love Victorian culture and ornament, and I think to them it fulfilled particular values. So, interestingly, the two authors there, one of them is talking about history. So Geoff Brantwood's a leading figure in Victorian society. He's talking about a book about Sir George Gilbert Scott, one of the great architects of the period, almost certainly the most successful architect of the period, and the architect of the Midland Grand Hotel at St Pancras, the Albert Memorial, and also some local buildings. So All Saints Nocton is a church by Sir George Gilbert Scott. The other speaker, Pamela Holmes, is actually done this fictionally. So she is talking about a Victorian woman who decorated her own church in the 19th century. And so in a way, you've got two ends of this. One end, big commercial, successful architects and artists. The other end, very personal approaches to actually individuals decorating their own churches and surroundings.
It's always good to actually have authors who will use that authenticity to kind of feed into their novels. And clearly one of the aspects about the festival is it kind of covers a whole transection of things from that perspective. Yeah. It's coming at a very busy time of the year, as we've also pointed out, of course, clearly on the 29th of September we have the Europe-wide Lincoln Lights, Lincoln Get Hold of Technology and Science. But this has got to be a good thing for Lincoln in general, that we actually have this proliferation of festivals and things.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Lincoln is a good cultural centre. It's a good cultural hub for Lincolnshire. And it's strange the university is so new in a way, because it's a city that always looked like it should have a university.
We just took our time, 600 years, that's it, right?
Yeah. And I've been here a long time. I've been here since the late 90s. And in fact, when I came here, I was part of De Montfort and the art school there, and we moved over to the University of Lincoln. But it's been nice to be here, because this university has really matured since I've been here.
Well, speaking of somebody who actually migrated from the north via the University of Humberside across the routine, I've shared in many of those great changes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it feels like a good place for a university now, because I must say, when students come here, I think this is actually good, because it's a nice small city to live in. It's not big enough for urban strife in terms of a big urban centre, and it's a good place to live. Lots of history and culture.
And, of course, the classic cathedral. Now, are there any other areas that, having looked through the brochure, you'd actually sort of say, you know, if I have the chance, because obviously times are tight, etc., that's an event I'd really like to go to?
Well, I'd quite like to see David Starkey, actually. I mean, he's a big name, and part of me, as a historian that his interest in social and cultural history kind of rather reacts against David Starkey, because he's quite traditional in his approach. Having said that, if you're going to do great men history, David Starkey's really good, I think. So I'd be quite interested to see that event, certainly.
Yes, I think certainly Hilary Mantel has one or two reactions against Mr. Starkey, which would be a whole new debate from that point of view. But a reminder, of course, in terms of what we're talking about today, it's an afternoon of architecture, Saturday the 30th of September, and it's at the Robert Hardy Building in Bishop Grosseteste. And I think it's going to be a wonderful event.
Yeah, it should be a very interesting afternoon. We've got fiction, we've got non-fiction, and afterwards we're going to go to a Gothic Revival church just down the road. So it should be a nice event.
So a field trip with Dr. Jim Cheshire as well. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It should be great.
Thank you. voices of love.
It would be exceptionally tall in the Gothic sense if the cathedral had actually been built 8 miles high, wouldn't it, Michael?
It would indeed.
Exceptionally tall.
Especially if it still had the spires on it.
Exactly. There is talk, of course, of having a space elevator, which many people actually see. That's what we actually need. It's that kind of thing you might like to ask the various folk who are actually presenting at Lincoln Lights, a Europe-wide initiative on Friday the 29th of September. That would be a week on Friday if you're listening to this live on a Wednesday the 20th of September, third Wednesday of the month, and obviously time for Inspired On Air. But before we actually move on to that excitement, well, it remains for us to actually say, tragically, we were not able to be joined by the fabulous Julie Ellaby from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre because a couple of things had cropped up which meant she couldn't quite be part of the whole thing today. And then Lauren was all set to come in as marketing intern. But then, tragically, Lauren also had to sort of take time out because we were working through that. Actually, we changed the time of the show, which on the plus side effectively meant that, from your own perspective, Michael, you could be here and experience the whole of Inspired On Air as opposed to just the rear end of it.
Yes, I'm totally immersed in it now, so yes, it's good.
And we're pleased that that's there. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. If you're listening to this on Wednesday the 20th and you're thinking, what should I do on Thursday the 21st of September? Well, why not go to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre for a Fresh Arts Fair? That would be FAF, Fresh Arts Fair, a celebration of arts and culture in Lincoln. Discover creative opportunities available in the city and immerse yourself, Michael, immerse yourself in a day full of activities and performances. Totally free entry. Totally free entry. There we are. There's the flyer. Oh, yes. Will you be able to engage with that, or is it a case of, don't be silly, I'm an academic. It's the beginning of the academic year. I haven't got time to engage in such things.
I think I'd like to jump into that if I could possibly manage it. Anything free, of course.
Exactly. It's just
free and fair, fresh.
Free and fresh. Free and fresh and fantastic.
Indeed,
yes. Three Fs. And the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre continues with great theatre at the heart of the city, because the other key thing that launched a few days ago now but still continues to work in its magical routine, it's the Pop Out Festival. Something which has been running since the 28th of September will continue until the 1st of October. And again, Pop Out 2017, celebration of outside the ordinary with all manner of wonderful things. What has caught your eyes from the Pop Out Festival brochure, which has quite literally popped out in front of you?
I'm intrigued by Unlimited Theatre and How I Hacked My Way Into Space, which has the byline, Think Dave Gorman Meets Professor Brian Cox in a Space Shed.
Mm.
That appeals to me.
It's a wonderful line. I mean, I'm also particularly interested in Black Mountain, which is the Orange Tree Theatre, Payne's Plough, Theatre Clewitt. Rebecca and Paul are running away from memories and mistakes. They're trying to save their relationship. They need time and space. An isolated house in the country is the perfect place to work things out, but you can't run forever, especially when you're being followed. That, in many ways, would be ideal if you're feeling slightly paranoid in Freshers' Week and you're thinking, yeah, you know, Black Mountain, Check it out. Friday, the 29th of September, 8 p.m. and Sunday, the 1st of October, 4:30 p.m. It'll be worthwhile. That actually, tickets £12.50 for full price, £10.50 for students, and £5 live pass for students and the under 26ers. So tragically, Michael, we just don't quite,
just miss it.
Slightly out
just
there. Miss never it. Mind.
Know, that's just okay. A week or so, and that would have been. Okay.
Precisely. You mentioned about the space theme, obviously, apropos of how I hacked my way into space, which is also on Friday, 29th of September. This, of course, ties in with Lincoln Lights, which is one day only on Friday, 29th of September. You might like to hear a certain host of Inspired on Air, the Midweek Drive, actually talk about how science influences science fiction and how science fiction influences science. Yeah? I'm doing that twice, actually. Yes. Once at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and once at 7 o'clock in the evening. So there we are. It's free, so it's there for that for the line. But the Apollo 11 Den is also being put together. This is running on the 29th of September at 2 p.m, 4:30 p.m, and 7:30 p.m, and again the same times on Saturday the 30th of September. It's July 1969. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins are on board the Apollo 11 spacecraft. Michael never gets to the moon. Sorry, spoiler alert. Just doesn't. Sorry, he's just. But he's in orbit. He's in orbit, watching, and making sure that
he's
all
keeping
is well.
Everything together. That's what he's doing.
Looking after the house.
Yes.
What might we do? Two of them, of course, are destined to be the most famous men on the planet. That would be Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, who's still going. You know, he's talking about how we should be moving to the moon. In fact, one of our semi-regular correspondents, Liz Brewer, was in touch with Buzz Aldrin. We should really get him on the show, shouldn't we?
Buzz Aldrin would be brilliant.
You think so?
Yeah.
We'll chase that up. We will. For you, Michael, I shall chase that up. We'll be inspired with Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz B. And again, there's a chance to actually meet the third. That's the Apollo 11 Den, a one-hour event with Tom Adams, obviously, working through the processes there. In addition to that, Little Packs, which is the kind of wonderful ways of actually saying Little Packs, as opposed to L Packs, that's a completely free production. You can come along and boogie away with Beth beneath the multicoloured LED lights of Roundabout in a free dance and movement session. Oh, tragically, we're out of this as well. It's perfect for the under fives, Michael. So.
Oh.
Yeah, never mind. Little Packs, if you do have any under five folk who would like to come along and take part in this fabulous sort of dance-a-size thing, you can actually attend again on Friday, 29th of September. So great stuff coming through as far as that's concerned. Anything else that's grabbed your attention from the Pop-Out Festival, Michael?
I'm just... Friendship, Family, and the Power of Imagination.
Mm-hmm, yes. And that, well, tell us about it then. What is Friendship, well, Family, and the Power of the Imagination?
Well, I'd have to pretend to be children to get into that. Surprising theatre for children and younger audiences. I think anything that gets kids involved in this kind of work is a good thing, isn't it?
Part and parcel of the Creative Festival, which is what we've been saying with our relationship with Penang University, where we actually are doing regular links with our people in Penang. Earlier today, we actually featured with Professor Matthew Krager, who was in Penang, and relating great things accordingly, which is just perfect. Okay, we're going to have another quick look around some of the sort of key highlights of the Pop-Out Festival. We'll be talking, obviously, about some of the other sort of things that you can get to go and see as far as the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre is concerned. I always feel at this time of the year that suddenly, once we start seeing those Christmas programmes being put together, as opposed to pantomime, we're talking about the Christmas show here, and we see that this time round, already booked for the 11th to the 24th of December, The Adventures of Robin Hood and Maid Marian. Somehow it feels as though we're racing towards 2018. So I'd almost be tempted to say just don't rush into these kind of things, but be aware that you can actually book tickets for the Christmas show at the Lincoln Performing Arts Theatre. Okay, Michael, it's time for you to make a musical choice. The listener is well aware that you would have had instant recollection of the Birds. Did you wish us to see if there's any Grateful Dead that actually appears within the system that we actually have here? I don't know what sort of arguing here.
Could do Grateful Dead or Jerry Garcia.
That's an interesting Grateful Dead. No, clearly it said no. So nothing as far as that's concerned. We'll try Jerry Garcia because that obviously could be a suitable line to work through. This could be a show in itself, actually.
We could improvise it.
In fact, we have been improvising it. Nothing from Jerry Garcia.
What about one of my all-time favourites, which is... America, Horse with No Name.
Now that, I would say there's a fair chance...
I should think so.
...that we could actually encounter that. And that chance has actually just moved from fair to absolutely certain.
I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rain. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, because there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
Was absolutely spot on when he said, "Oh yes, America, a rock band formed in England in 1970 by Dewey Bunnell, Dan Peake and Jerry Buckley, all of whom were sons of United States Air Force personnel stationed in London." A fascinating little trivia piece there, which again just shows the wondrousness of life and all sorts of other sort of key things from there. Okay, what else has floated your boat from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, Michael Blackburn?
Oh, pack. I mean, which one is it? Hold on, let me see.
I see so many things here. Pop-out festivals and so on.
The Pop-out Festival. Actually, another thing did catch my eye, which is the Little City Creates Takeover Day. Which says, "Hello there, we're Little City Creates. What started as an Instagram project has become much more, from tiny origins into a network for celebrating and giving recognition to the artists of our little city."
Is Lincoln a little city, do you think? Or is it just
it's a little compared to, say, that they're London.
True. Although they both start with L.
They do indeed.
And end in N.
Yeah, that's true.
Apart from that. We're a lot happier
but
in Lincoln.
It's still smaller than Leeds, which ends in S.
Precisely. But then do we really want to take the Leeds line too much on the side? No. I think not. Don't forget the Lincoln Comedy Festival is also coming up later on in autumn. We've got all sorts of wonderful things from Jerry Sadowitz, comedian, magician and psychopath. He is, actually. So could almost be one of our English teaching colleagues. No names, but I'm just rolling it out there. Just rolling it out. Festival of the Spoken Nerd. You can't polish a nerd. I know what they're saying. And, of course, Simon Anstall with what is this or what is this or what is this,
is this?
Exactly. Will be with us, and Jimmyon Ridiculous will also be there as well. That's still to come. Do get hold of a copy of the brochures that are actually available in hard copy if you wish from Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, or alternatively you can always go to lpac.co.uk and find out all manner of marvellous things. In a few moments we will be talking about what events are taking place, again all completely free of charge. I say that again, all completely free of charge with Lincoln Lights. Lincoln Get Hold of Technology of Science, Technology and Science. And yeah, it's a wonderful way of actually relating the arts, the humanities with the sciences, with those STEM subjects and all manner of wonderful things, all after Richard Ashcroft, who has his very own science of silence. Okay then, we'll think about that. Telepathically, obviously. We are on a rock, spinning silently, but I'm sick when you're with me. These questions I'm asking, baby, haunting me. I need some security, can't you see? Her love was like a fountain, rushing and pouring. Darkness is putting out the light in me. She's a will to be dug. She's a university, a cosmic library. Wait and see. We are on a rock, spinning silently. Won't you get close to me? We are on. Genes they have made me. Is it the things I took? Is it the things I said? This common rule. Well, if there's a God, well, can you hear me now? I'm crying now, hoping you know. And in my baby's arms, I need no faith. I need no. And when I'm holding you, light rushing through, so why not celebrate science? Don't be frightened by science. It's there. It's all connected. You can go to our Facebook page, which is @LightsExpo. This is something which is now running for, I think it's actually the second major year that's been put together. Pan-European funded scenario. You can see Understanding Evolution. You can meet Mark, the university's very own robot. Skeletons in the Cupboard, Myths and Science of Sleep. How much do we need? Do we get too much? Do we get irritated if we don't get enough sleep? How does that work on the whole process? The building blocks of food. See the world through your dog's eyes. How often we wanted to have that canine connection. See what we did there? People think we don't prepare this program. Oh, that proves that they are incorrect. Exactly. And so we've got the Terracotta Army. Almost choking with the imagination there. You can find out how 3D technology can help restore 2,000-year-old warriors buried with the Chinese emperor. Not to real life, obviously, but they can actually be seen in their imperious glory. As well as, of course, this is a nice one, Science in Song, SIS, a performance by the University of Lincoln Students of Music, ranging from Bartok to the Beastie Boys.
That sounds really fascinating.
Yeah. And all of this you can find on lightsexpo.org. Come along. I think we've got about 1,000 school children who will actually be sort of attending as far as the thing's concerned. But for everybody else, every other soul, it is completely free. And as you see on the flyer there, all welcome, free to attend. Does any of that grab you, Michael, and says, yes?
The Science in Song definitely sounds quite fascinating, linking all of those things from Bartok to the Beastie Boys. Now, the Beastie Boys I do actually recognise.
Really?
I do actually remember.
Because you always fight for your right to party.
I do indeed, but that's about the limit of it.
It's what we have to do, and it's what we like to do. That's indeed, the important thing. So, as I say, you can find out all sorts of things there. Don't be worried if you haven't got a science background. It's literally meant to welcome folk who might have you might have lots of preconceptions about science. You might sort of think, oh, it's fun, it's enjoyable, it's literally got lots of hands-on activities, lots of scenarios that's actually there. It's a lively, varied and thought-provoking program, and as we said, you can find it at likesexpo.org. Let's just summarise. We've got one more musical piece to go as far as the Lincoln Inspired On Air for September is concerned. You have got, obviously, the amazingly wonderful Lincoln Book Festival, which runs from the 25th of September right the way through to the following weekend on the 30th of September, I think, or 29th of September, 30th of September. David Starkey, I think, wrapping up on the things that you can go to that. You've obviously got the pop-out events that are taking place. I did pass by the giant quack duck, which is not so much a pop-out event, but it's all fun there. That's all taken by. And the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre is very much at the heart of that. And then across the campus of the University of Lincoln, on Friday the 29th of September, like a phoenix from the proverbial ashes of joys of science, you have got Lincoln Get Hold of Technology and Science. In fact, we've even got, I think if I can manage to locate this, a little ident that we put together for a whole series of podcasts, actually 9 in all, with a whole range of contributors for the Lincoln Lights package. That's what I've been busily doing over the summer, actually, Michael, putting together a range of sort of elements with the Fresh Arts Fair you've also alluded us to, which is absolutely spot on from that point of view. And let me just see if we've got our Lincoln Lights package here. Yeah, I think we've got this. So if you actually hear these magical notes that come across. Lincoln, get hold of tech and science. It's Lincoln Lights.
Science with science.
Thank you, Thomas and Magnus. Okay, that's it. Another Inspired On Air has come to its final part, Michael. That's it. Again, a reminder that you can access all sorts of other areas. You can simply go to the University of Lincoln website as well, and you'll find links to Lincoln Lights and to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and to the Lincoln Book Festival. So it's just full on in so many ways. Have you enjoyed the first September 2017, in fact, the only September 2017, Inspired On Air?
I have indeed, Alex. Yes, marvellous. It's been very pleasant.
Yeah, I think we've checked out in all sorts of ways. And we will be back for an October Inspired On Air.
Yes, indeed.
That we will indeed. We've got the Osmonds and Crazy Horses up next. But to take us around to that, as we can do that, I think we know what we need to finish off with. After three, those two words are one, two, three.
Be inspired.